So essentially what I'm doing here is I am interviewing people who have sort of gone through the program, the Dal Bass program, and I am sort of trying to get out of them what their experience was and how they, what they've been through. And the reason why I want to do that is because there are going to be a lot of guys who are going to listen to this, and I want them to hear what your experience was, your challenges, what you learned. Just the different things that you kind of went through during the process, and I'll ask you some specific questions as we go through this, and just sort of like what you've, how you got over those things, and some of the things that have helped the most within the Tao of Badass, and some of the material that you've learned from me, or from my material, from my stuff that I've released to you, and you've got the Tao of Badass, and I think you have Hacking Attraction as well, correct?
Yes.
Hacking Attraction, and then also you're a founding member,
Yes.
and do you have Advanced Coaches Prep course as well?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, and I think that some of that stuff is semi-recent to you, like you just recently got some of it, and some of it I think you've had for a little bit. So, Brett, I wanted to know if you could for a moment just think back on some of the things that you learned. If you just say what was the biggest thing that you learned from the Tao of Badass, from the book itself, that sort of was an aha moment for you, where you're like, "Oh my God, I didn't realize something it was like that," or you didn't really know that there's a specific way to, use your body language, or that there's a system, or whatever, that just sort of jumped out of you the fastest and the easiest, and allowed you to sort of reframe the way you look at interacting with women.
One thing that comes to mind is in the past we have had phone coaching and we went over affirmations. In the Tao of Badass, you've taken it 10 times further than what the affirmations were doing for me because it listed steps to do to actually change your beliefs.
Right.
And from changing some of my beliefs, and one of them is I'm an attractive guy, and it's amazing, not even, not just women, but guys too walk up to me and are like, "Who are you?" And I've had people say, "Hey, you remind me of Moby the way you walk. And you've just got this energy about you. Who are you?" And that's been one of the biggest changes for me that Tao Badass has led to me. It took me a little bit to understand it. I had to go through the Hacking Attraction and watch some of those videos over and over and over to actually, for me, to understand it.
There's a lot of
But
information in there, you know.
There's tons of information to break that down, and it takes time to actually watch one section of it and actually force yourself to stop so you can focus and understand specific things. I mean, there's so much information in the Tao of Badass and some of the other courses that you provide. It's just about breaking it down and taking steps at it.
Right. So for you, it was one of the biggest sort of life changers was the 5-step belief creation process that I sort of put together. Now, and part of that, of course, is affirmations, but affirmations isn't everything. So we've been through it before in the past. You've tried affirmations. They only get you to a certain point, but integrating them in the way that sort of it's broken down, the Tao of Badass and the belief creation process is what's helped you probably the most immediately and helped you sort of see a response. So you didn't have the response before you did this, and you sort of built this belief of I'm an attractive guy. You didn't have girls or anybody coming up to you and being like, "Who are you?" or saying that you remind them of Moby and the way you move and everything.
No, let's see. I've had this for about a month and a half. I've been going, I think a couple months is like when I called you to ask you a couple questions, and you kind of cleared some things up for me, and then I started to really comprehend what you were trying to get across. And now like I realized that when in the past that when we've done when you've done coaching for me, and I kept running the roadblocks and it just kept going in a circle and it was getting frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. That learning this stuff, actually now I understand why I was having roadblocks and I kept going in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Because my beliefs were sending me in these circles. I know all this information, I know how to do it, and I know what to do, but because I didn't believe things about myself,
mm-hmm.
that truly I am, it really put me in a bad spot in the past.
Right.
And now, like, I'll get these, like, crazy smiles on my face at work, and my boss is like, what are you up to? And I'm just thinking about these beliefs about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a powerful feeling that it changes my body language and you can see emotion in my face of how happy I am because I'm an attractive guy and I'm learning to control my emotions that I didn't know how to do in the past.
Right, right. So one of the things that's, first off, that's awesome. that's an amazing step. I mean, I remember whenever I first applied my first belief the first time to my life and I think I may have gone over this in the Tao of Badass a little bit and just talked about the experience because it was such a life-changing experience for me. You know, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to pretend like I'm hot and see if that works, you know? So I looked in the mirror for a while and I was like, you are hot. I am hot, you know? I'm a hot guy. And I kept saying it like all these different ways and it felt like I was totally lying to myself. And then I walk, I'm talking, you know, I'm, you know, hanging out with some people and talking to this girl for a minute and she goes, you know, I said something kind of cocky, like a little bit cocky. And she said, you always think you're hot shit, don't you? You know? And I said, you know, I was like, okay, well, my mind is like, okay, it's now or never, Josh. You need to just do this and go for it and just say it, you know, let's see if it works. And if it doesn't, then no big deal. But if it does, then oh my God, that's amazing. You found a massive loophole in this. And so I was like, okay, let's go for it. So I said, I am hot. And she just laughs in my face. I mean, she laughed for, it felt like in, you know, an hour. But it was probably only about a couple minutes. But she laughed right in my face and kept laughing and, you know, kept looking at me. And then finally she stopped and she goes, are you serious? And I said, well, yeah, I'm hot. And women find me attractive. Just kind of how it is, you know? And she stopped for a second. She sort of shook her head up and down a little bit. She goes, you know, I guess you're right. You are hot. And I was like, are you serious? In my mind, I was like, this actually worked. You know, that's all it took is for me to think that. And so after that, I knew that was the case. I knew that I could just control my beliefs like that. And so I started to pretend like I was hot all the time. And immediately it was like women had this radar detector for guys who have that belief system, that believe that they're hot, and they find you. You know, they were finding me at work. They're coming in and talking to me. They were like just flirting with me nonstop. And it was like, you know, this did not happen before. It never happened before. So for me, it was such a massive difference that I had to like really take powerful note of it. And it was, you know, really at the core of a lot of the stuff that I teach is that if you don't go through this process of growing, you know, where you you know, where you integrate new belief systems, actually integrate the new belief systems, then you'll keep making the same mistakes over and over again and you'll self-sabotage for the rest of your life. That's just kind of how it is, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, the first time I had a boot camp with you in one of your old companies,
mm-hmm.
We had a conversation that you actually pulled a lot of emotion out of me and it was... a lot of things from my past that I still haven't gone through and in the past I hadn't gone through and fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was preventing me. So changing your beliefs and going through things from your past that brings you to what you are today, tell people, I mean, you can read and you can learn all this stuff, but until you change your beliefs and actually face some of the stuff in the past that you look at and you feel that you're kind of ashamed of, and just be and learn to be okay with it, you're not going to succeed to the goals that you want. And I'm still working on a couple of things, but every day I'm being more successful in every way, and it's just an amazing insight learning this stuff about myself and being okay with it.
Right. I think that that sort of point that you're making, that it's, you know, you studied a lot before this, didn't you, Brett? I mean, you studied a lot of people's material.
Yeah, I've spent lots and lots of money, and then a lot of this stuff I send back because it's not complete. There's a lot of incomplete stuff there, and it's just like somebody just trying to make a quick dollar. And every time I buy something, I'm like, you know what, this sucks. I need to find what Josh is doing now, because you put a lot of thought into what you're doing, and you just don't leave it hanging at one kind of concept.
Right. One of the things I found over time is that it's not just a technique or a certain skill set that makes you, you know, makes you good with women. It's kind of like I had to look at it as if, you know, the skill sets that an attractive man is like an entire tire, like an entire bike wheel, you know. And if you want to actually be able to show that you're attractive and have people notice that you're attractive and think that you're attractive, you can't have one spoke on the tire. That doesn't work. You need lots of spokes on the tire. You need lots of things that you need to learn. You need to really be rounded out as a man and study a lot of things in order to be able to really get that kind of powerful change that you need to get in your life and make in your life to be that truly attractive man. So whenever I built the Tao of Badass, the reason why it's called the Tao of Badass is because Tao means the way. So the Tao of Badass is like the way of the badass, essentially. And it's not just about, you know, learning techniques to attract women. It's about being a man who is attractive, not just learning techniques to attract women. So one of the biggest sort of cornerstones, like you're saying right now, from the Tao of Badass, is understanding how to control what you believe in a way that allows you to attract more women. You know, I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, we're all here because, you know, we want to be able to attract either a future wife or wives, you know, or girlfriend or whatever, or even just like go out into a bar and talk to a girl and get her number and have her want to hang out with you, you know, or even, you know, hook up with a girl that we just met. Whatever it is, we all are doing this because of women. You know, we want to know, you know, we want to know the answers to these questions we've been having for years, you know, years and years. And no one teaches us those anymore. And we can't just say, okay, look, walk up to her, turn your back, and, you know, say these words and she'll be all over you. That doesn't work. If anyone tells you that's how it works, it's a lie, you know? And I think that's what you're talking about. You ran into a lot of guys who sell products that sell you that lie, you know, that sell you that, oh, just walk up to her and do this special technique and that's all you need to know. It's just one technique, and then you'll get any woman you want. Well, that's just not true, dude. You know.
Yeah, it's like what you were talking about, the spokes on a bicycle tire. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these companies and these coaches that go out there, they may have something that actually works, but if you don't have the spokes to support the rim, then the tread of the tire is pointless. If you get what I'm saying, it's just like their stuff may work and it may not work. But if you don't have the spokes or all the different little pieces that build up your confidence, and having a solid core foundation from this, that stuff's not going to work.
Right. Yeah. You can do whatever they say for you to do and it won't work. That's how it is. You know?
And if it does work, and you're still not confident in this, to your core, it's going to break down on you eventually, because it's happened to me.
It's happened to me too. You know, where it's, you know, we get into a point where, you know, it's nothing more exciting than finding that, oh my God, this is working. Like, I can't believe this is working kind of moment, you know? But there's nothing more disappointing than realizing, holy crap, that was just temporary.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you're... So I know exactly what you mean. And like when you, in the Hacking Attraction, when you talked about the four line,
yeah,
that so made a lot. It took me a little bit to understand it, but as I realized, like, oh, every time I did good, and then I realized, oh, this shit is horrible. And I was like, oh yeah, the four line.
Yeah. So essentially, you're realizing that it's not that you're getting worse or that you're bad still. It's that you're at another level. You know, yeah. you get used to being good, and then you take it to the next level, and that's essentially what it's all about. You know, and that's. You know, the Tao of Badass is sort of designed so that if you walked into it not knowing anything else, it wouldn't burden you with too much crap so that you could focus and actually make a change in the things that were most important that you needed to make. You know, there's advanced material in it, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of advanced material in the Tao of Badass, but it's not delivered in a way that you need to, like, fish through a volume of stuff to find the one thing that works. You know, I spent...
Right.
I spent just... years and years and years and years just studying this stuff. And, you know, I was like, you know, I remember sitting back in Chapel Hill, you know, wake up in the day, and I would open a book and I'd start reading it, and I'd look at some videos and start training, you know, all sorts of different things. I'd call people and ask them questions. I would, you know, go online and ask questions and answer questions. And then I'd go out and I'd try stuff that's new, you know, and I had a long time of studying to figure out what does and doesn't work. And 90% of the crap that I tried, it worked maybe one time out of 50. I mean, it was really just terrible results with it, you know? And so I had started to tweak things and change things and figure out, okay, well, if it worked one time, can I make it work again? You know, and I just had to change it all and find out what was most important to me, Brett, which was that is why does this work in the first place? Why would this work? How can I make it work better? And that's what I put in the Tao of Badass. So that's why it's, you know, only the things that work, none of the stuff that didn't, and it's no bullshit either. It's not like I'm going to say, oh, hey, you know, try this one technique and women will be all over you. I can say, try this technique and you'll get a girl's phone number. I can say that, you know. I can say, try this technique and this girl will want to kiss you. But I can't say, try this one technique and then she'll give you her number, she'll want to kiss you, she'll want to hang out with you later on, she'll want to sleep with you, she'll want to be dating you, you know. It's not one technique does all that, because it's not a technique. You know, it's not like some secret thing. Well, it might be secret information, but it's not some magical thing, you know. It's not sneaky. It's just accepting what we've all been avoiding for the most part, usually. You know, it's when we've all been avoiding, accepting that we are actually attractive guys, you know. And women will like us when we accept that. If you don't accept that, women really will not. You know what's interesting, Brett, is that there's been this study on guppies, of all things. And they did a study on guppies where they took male and female guppies, and they were watching their mating habits. And they found that the females were attracted to the males that were the most orange, right? So the ones that had the most flashiness, orange, you know, on them. And then, but if there are two males next to each other, and those two males were both equally orange, then the female guppies would be attracted to the male that all the rest of the female guppies were attracted to. That's what they were attracted to. Just the one that everyone else was attracted to. That's what they went for. They went for that one. Not for the other one, even though they were absolutely equal in every way. And in a lot of ways, that's sort of how we operate now as humans in this really similar manner. You know, women will see you and they'll see, oh my God, this guy thinks that he's hot. And they will go, well, if he thinks he's hot, it's probably because he has proof that he's hot. Meaning, women probably like this guy. Meaning, I should probably like this guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, I'm going through different moments that I've actually seen this.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if a guy walks in with two girls in his arms, and then walks in, and then he sits down, and then he gets up and goes and get a drink, guess who talks to him? Every girl in the bar. Because they're like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? How come you have all these women all over you? And they automatically think, is that guy a rock star, you know? You know, like when people stop you and they're like, oh my God, you know, you remind me of Moby with the way you move and everything. That's a massive compliment. That means, yeah. You know, regardless of whether or not you like Moby's music, you know, yeah. You know, that means that you're exuding the kind of confidence of a man who has options and he knows it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what's most important. That's like, that is the bottom line. Now, all the techniques that you've tried in the past, if you try them with this new belief system, this new knowledge that you currently have, and this new sort of badass mindset, then other techniques that didn't work before might start working again now, Brett.
Oh, I know. But before I wanted to jump into that stuff, and I mean, like, I recently moved into this new place, and I was unpacking boxes, and I found all these notebook papers and notebooks with all kinds of notes from Mystery Method and some other companies and stuff like that. And I'm kind of grinning and laughing at some of the stuff I was reading, but but like, you've brought a lot of new ideas to the table for me, and I've decided to sit back and work on myself before I go try and doing all that stuff. And I know that stuff will work, and I know in the future when I do that stuff, I'm probably gonna figure out why it worked, break it down, change it, and make it my way, because I'm learning what my strengths are and learning to polish those and figure out what my weaknesses are and how to use those to my advantage.
Right.
And so, but I need to fix that stuff.
You know, I have a question for you. You know, as you sort of were going through this process of learning all these other things and sort of having this frustration of seeing the failure between everything else, what was like the tipping point for you? What was where you realized, I'm doing all this stuff, I'm studying all these things, I bought all these products, you know, and it's just not working for me? What was the moment like when you realized that, and how did that feel for you? Because I know what I went through whenever I was sort of experiencing that same thing. But I would love to hear how you sort of went through it and what you felt when you did that.
I'm trying to sit here and think back what, because I think there's several moments where I've hit just straight brick walls and just like sat down and actually had tears because I was so frustrated. I think one was a girl that I was dating. And it wasn't like a relationship. We were having sex and we were seeing each other, but I went out with her with a buddy of mine, and we went on a double date with Amanda and her best friend. And she hadn't seen her best friend in a while, and we're at this sushi bar, sitting down, having drinks, ordering food, and her friend's a complete bitch to me.
Right.
And I look at it now is that, like, I didn't know how to take that. And this is just a little after I first met you. Mm-hmm. And, but, like, so I looked at Amanda and I was just like, all right, you know what? Your friend's being a bitch. You're letting her be a bitch to me. See you later. And we got up and left him there. And I talked to her later on and was like, it ain't working. But it's not her fault. And I didn't realize it until later on, but like, I mean, I hurt. I thought about that. I was so emotional over that. It was just a wreck for me.
Yeah.
And like, all the stuff I bought and all the stuff I read and downloaded and didn't tell me anything how to handle that. Nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of my first breakdowns that that I really hit a wall there.
Right. And did you, whenever that happened and you were thinking about it later on, you know, sort of at your house, or, you know, just thinking back on maybe that night, you know, after it all went down, and the first time you really got to be alone for a minute, maybe it was even in the car ride back, where, you know, where you're kind of being quiet or talking about it or whatever. Did you have kind of a sense that you had failed, or was something else going on in your mind?
You know, I think there were a lot of things going on. The friend that I was with, I mean, he noticed that she was doing too, and he was still at the learning point too, so he really didn't have any answers. But I mean, you could really see on his face that he really felt that for me.
Right.
And he was just basically, I guess you're on to looking for a new chick, and that's basically what it was. It's just like, all right, it's done. Don't try to figure out what the problem was. Just move on and try some and find somebody else to meet. But
right, right, and that's a really trapping feeling, man. And whenever I had sort of started this as well, I was in several, you know, in the beginning I got lucky too. You know, I remember the first time I ever got a girl's phone number. I was like at a bar, and this has never happened to me before. I was like sitting there, and she was signing her check, and I said something stupid like, "That's an interesting signature," you know, something like totally silly. And I just started pretending like I knew what I was talking about, and I just like, you know, I don't know, I didn't know what I was doing. I just made some stuff up off the top of my head. And I just started talking to her for a minute, and I started accidentally using negative body language, and she was like, "Hey, why don't I give you my phone number?" And I was like, "Oh my god, that worked!" Like, "Oh my god!" But after that, she never answered the phone. You know, she never talked to me. I never called her. I mean, I called her, but she never answered. And I was like, "What is going on, man?" I started thinking that something was wrong with women. You know, that maybe they did this, and maybe it was them, and maybe, you know, maybe there's something wrong. You know, not, and maybe it wasn't my fault. And as I started to study more, and I started to interact more with women, and I started getting better, it became apparent to me first that it was actually my fault, you know, that I was walking up and I was presenting myself in a way that, without even knowing it, that made women want to treat me the way that they treated me, you know, made them want to lie to me, or made them want to whatever, you know. And that was really when I realized that it's all within my control, and it's all in my hands. Like, I have to get this shit handled. I have to get this area of my life just nailed down and get it working, because, you know, for me, I don't want to wait my whole life. I want to get this handled now. It's more important than anything else. You know, if I have money, you know, if you can think about it this way, if business is really important, if it's very important to you, imagine being extremely successful but not having any kind of a good relationship, or worse, having women still kind of like own you, you know, where they tell you what to do or they manipulate you and everything. You know, you don't have that love, that great ability to create attraction with anyone you want. You know, if you have that, if you imagine that happening and you're still happy and it's no big deal, you don't care, like really don't care, then, you know, whatever, no big deal. It's not a big deal. You're fine. You don't need to get this area of your life handled as urgently. But when I imagined that, I was like, dude, I have tons of money and I'm absolutely just miserable, depressed, you know? I feel helpless still. And I knew that this was more important than anything else in my entire life. And I, you know, whenever I was studying and I really got to study full time, you know, like 6 days a week, 8 to 9, 10 hours a day, sometimes more than that every day, I lost all my jobs because I was like, I don't care about money. You know, I want to know this information. I want this area of my life handled first, and then I'll move on to money. You know, I also thought that, you know, if a woman comes up to me and I'm rich and she meets me, how am I going to know that she likes me for who I am and not for my money? You know,
yeah.
I needed to know that I knew how to create the attraction, that I was an attractive guy, that I became something that's the next level version of me, the Josh 2.0, you know?
Yeah.
And I spent all my time doing that. So it was, and I think that a lot of our sort of greatest gifts that we discover about ourselves come from those lowest moments where it's like, what the hell am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing with women. But I even like left an entire city because I couldn't handle it with one, you know, one woman that I was attracted to. I left an entire city and moved to another one. I just started wandering around in different cities because I was like, I can't handle being reminded every day that I suck with women, you know? And it was just too much for me to bear. And, you know, the reason why it was important for me to write this stuff down and teach it to mass groups of people is because whenever I did it and I found an answer, I realized that it took me 8 years to find the answer, you know, at least 6 years, you know, to find the answer. And then, so whenever I started, you know, really going back and forth and taking out what my answer was and looking at it, I was like, I can teach this in less than, you know, a week. I can teach this to a guy in a week, but it took me, you know, 8 years to figure it out, And I don't want every other guy to have to wait and search for 8 years. And I search full time for 8 years, you know, full time. And I'm, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do now, but back then I was the worst case I'd ever seen. even out of all my students, I was worse than all of them put together. You know.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Like what? See, I'm on 4 or 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first introduced the idea of seducing a woman, I think how to seduce a woman was a book I found in a Barnes and Noble. And it's been frustrating, and like I've learned a lot of stuff over the years from you, and I like majority. I knew a lot of stuff, but I didn't understand it until I met you with another company.
Mm-hmm.
And then since you started going off on building your own company by yourself, that you really started bringing a lot of ideas to me. And I think a lot of that stuff is the foundation of the Tower of the Badass, but
mm-hmm.
Tower of the Badass. Mm-hmm. And it was frustrating, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I went through it because I'm able now to teach it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And but I don't think that everyone needs to go through what we went through. I don't think that everyone needs to search and find the wrong products forever and read bad information forever and jump from place to place running away from things forever like we did. You know, I spent longer than you doing it. You know, I spent longer than you just wasting my time, you know. But you still have that same pain point of like, wow, man, if I had just known this stuff like I know it now, if I had just known it 5 years ago, then I would already be married by now and have a hot wife and a great life, you know?
Yeah.
But that just means, you know, that's what I would have thought in the past. I wouldn't trade it for anything though, you know, because I think that now it gives me the opportunity to teach guys the stuff that I've known. Because of it, I wrote the Tao of Badass, and I think that, you know, It's the kind of thing that I believe will pull it all together for everybody and make it all make sense. Even if you've read other stuff and checked out other material and you got some success with it, you know, I want to help the guys who aren't there yet to get there and fast, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. And I wouldn't have traded all the stuff I went through either, even how painful it was for me.
Right.
Because now I can look, I can go to some of these layer talks in the communities and stuff like that, and I can listen to some of these new guys speak, and from word for word, whatever they say, I know exactly where they are and what will fix their problem. Like that pops mm-hmm. in my head.
Right.
And like, I was at we had somebody from Charisma Art
mm-hmm.
come down and do a layer talk to us. And before that, we had all the guys go around, and like I haven't been in around that lair in like a year and a half because I was trying to focus on myself and stuff that you've taught me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back in there and I listened to this one guy, and he talked about, I'm here because nobody likes me.
Wow.
And it hit me hard, and I'm like, I know what'll fix this guy's problem. This guy needs to understand what his beliefs are and fix those before he does anything.
Right.
And so, like, I've been trying to find this guy's number for the past couple of weeks now, trying to get a hold of him so I can actually go out, have coffee with him, sit him down, and go, look, man, fix this.
Right.
Feel so much better.
You know, what's amazing is that you have that power to be able to do that now. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. You can actually help people now.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, in the past, people, like, I've been told people, like, idolized me because I knew all this different stuff, and I could see people doing things and be like, well, tweak this and it'll fix them that and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But now that a lot of the concepts with Tao the Badass and the Hacking and Attraction really, really show me a lot more in depth how to help people.
Right, right. Well, that's awesome, man. I mean, I'm really proud of your transformation that you've made. I've known that you know, in the beginning, before I had sort of gotten my hands on at least even some of this material, and before I was able to teach it the way that I am now, you know, with no holds barred, and the way that I teach at my programs. You know, I remember seeing you sort of frustrated And you know, I wanted to just give you the information and let you know it, but it was just so much that I thought, you know, I needed to cover all at one time. Not that you needed to know a whole bunch, you know, not that you were that bad. It was just that I had to make sure that you understood some of this stuff first before I moved on to the next things. And I just could never fully see you, you know, reach in and accept that, those concepts, and accept them. So it's really, I'm really proud of you to be able to see you now, and to see you really, I mean, fully, for the first time since I've known you, you know, become a true man, you know?
I see that about myself, like, you know, like, at work, I'm a technician, so a lot of the guys goof off, and like, one of the things to do is make people really, really uncomfortable. And some of the older guys, when I first got into turning wrenches, they'd come on and touch me on the shoulder and kind of like hint kind of sexual gay stuff, try to make me really, really uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of the older guys still do that around the shop just to mess with people. And so, and it kind of incorporated to tease other guys like that. And so I do it. And like, there's a whole group on the other end of the shop that told my boss, they go, I think Brett's gay. And he came up to me and goes, you know, everybody in here thinks you're gay. And I'm like, so? I didn't care. And he looks at me, oh, I just thought you'd let you know. You know, you could really get them in trouble for saying that. I go, why would I even care? You know, their opinion is none of my business. And I go, you know what the funny thing about that is they're the ones that are uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, they're repping up on you, man.
So, you know, but, you know, it's stuff like that doesn't bother me anymore. In the past, oh, that would have messed me up.
Yeah.
But now I don't care if people think I'm gay, or if people look at me funny when I tell them I'm an attractive guy. I know, like, I can look at their expression and see that they're uncomfortable with themselves, and it's not me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's an amazing place to be.
Right. It's a place of power, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's cool that, like, it took you 8 years, and where I'm at is about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you've saved me about 3 years, and I've probably got another 6 months to a year to be where I'm thinking of being right now.
Mm-hmm.
The idea in my head is it'll probably change in a year, and I'll have all these new goals and new learnings and new knowledge and stuff like that, and you just want to keep adding to that. But
yeah, well, that's what being part of the Founding Members Club is all about too, though, you know, because you'll have access to me as I grow. That's what's most important about it, you know, because and as I create programs, like my next program that I do live is going to be you know, basically a 2.0, a Hacking Attraction 2.0. It's the next evolution of Hacking Attraction. I know stuff now that I never knew, even when I built Hacking Attraction, which at the time was the most forward-thinking attraction material that had ever been developed. You know, and I know stuff now that I didn't know then that I'm going to be teaching. So that's the best way to make sure that you're sort of at that head of the curve. And I really fully believe that you are your five closest friends, meaning that, you know, you're the sum of your five closest friends. You are, if you take five people you spend the most time with, you know, and you average them all together, you are in every way the average point of all those five people. And so if you spend more time around people who innovate, then you become more innovative. You become more brilliant in general. And that, you know, for me was a massive realization. And that's one of the reasons why I even offered this program, the Founding Members Club, as a program too, because I wanted guys to be able to get coaching calls with me every, you know, three times a month, and then come to two of my events every year and see me and, like, actually be at that forefront, that fore level of all of the things that I'm thinking and that I'm understanding and the new things I've learned. Because I've learned stuff in the past month that changed everything for me again, you know? Not just about Hacking Attraction, but about, you know, influence, about rapport, about relationships, you know? About how to do things that I never thought I'd even have to learn how to do, you know, how to stay charming and not lead women on, like the little things like that I didn't think I would ever have to learn. And you know, now I'm in a relationship and I'm very happy with my relationship. I don't want to, you know, constantly have issues with women being attracted to me. These are the problems that I have now, you know. This is the actual problem that I have. And I just look back on my life and I go, man, you know, when I first started doing this, I would have killed for this problem. You know, I would have killed for the problem of like, oh, you know, boo-hoo, you have to worry about so many women are attracted to you. You have a big problem there, you know. Like, I would have loved to have that problem, but I just didn't think it was possible. So, you know, getting to where I am now, I think that's probably one of the best ways of essentially making sure that you're ahead of the curve and making sure that you have sort of your stuff handled, so to speak. And I know you're saying before that you had a lot of a lot of time that you spent ahead of time, and you know, you did as much as you could. But you know, I think that now it's all come to this, where you're part of the group, you're part of the Founding Members Club, you know, and you're part of this group that is my inner circle, you know.
Yeah.
And I take care of my people. I take care of my inner circle. I do that. I mean, I take care of everybody I can, but I give more time to people who are on my inside.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to them on the calls. I answer their questions and everything. And you know, I don't know if you know this, Brett, but you're actually part of a small group that got let into the Founding Members Club ahead of time.
Okay, I didn't know. I saw this email pop up, and I was like, and like my funds were totally not there available for it. And I was like, you know what? Let me move some things around, because I knew that this was the next. I mean, as soon as I read that, and like, and I've done a lot of work with you over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew it was like, you know what, Josh is at his greatest moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I need to get a part of, and I'll be honest with you, each call that we've had two calls now. And I've had aha moments on each call, and it's just like, they were so powerful. Like, I had to go back and listen to the calls, because I lost half of it because I was sitting there thinking about this aha moment and going off this. And you can listen to me speak on there, and you can, like, I'm sitting there just contemplating things going through my head about that stuff. And
it's
like I'd tell anybody to jump on board now. That's helped me, and it's a new way of teaching people that nobody out there does at all. You know, and that much access. And like over the years, you've been over backwards to make sure that I was all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of your core things that I've probably respected the most is that, you know, when you help somebody, you're there for the long haul.
Right. Well, it's not going to happen overnight. That's why, you know. I mean, big things will happen overnight, but in order to really be able to take it to the next level, I got to take a group of people with me. I don't want to be, you know, lonely in first place like everybody, you know. I want to be like, oh, I got this handled now. Yeah, I'm better than everybody else, but I have no friends. You know, I'd rather take a group of really intelligent guys, you know, who are driven, and not guys who aren't driven, but guys who are actually driven to change and grow, and take them with me as my founding members, you know, a Dal Abadis founding member. And that's sort of, you know, why I built that program in the first place. I don't think that anybody who doesn't have the Dal Abadis should be in the Founding Members Club yet, you know. But I am going to open the doors again to it. So I mean, by the time that anyone hears this interview, I will have opened the doors to the Founding Members Club, and I will be allowing them to jump on board and you know, get a copy of the Dal Abadis with it and really just take it to the next level, you know. And you know, there'll be opportunities for guys to join us and to be on those calls and to hear our stories like this and to you know, to hear the questions from other guys just like them, you know, that are just like, I don't know the answer to this. And it's like, it's shameful for me. When I was younger, it was shameful for me not to know the answer to a question. So to have someone else there who they don't know the answer either, you know, and then someone who does know the answer to answer it without judgment, it's just so amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And, You know, I think I appreciate that you appreciate it so much, because that's what it's for. It's for us. You know, it's for us to move forward. And you know, I appreciate you saying what you said about it, because I really feel the same way. I feel those aha moments with people on the calls, and I feel those like, oh my God, like now I understand everything, or now I understand at least this giant portion of my life, and now I have control over it again. It's just a sort of a magical thing to go through. So if anyone's listening to this now, and if you want to jump on board, you can jump on board as a founding member, and you can grab a copy of the Dial Bass with it. You know, I'll be running a special on that. So definitely jump on board as a founding member. If you do want to be able to get on these calls, it's 3 calls a month with us, and then with me, my coaches, and all the founding members. And Brett, but you of course are one of the first founding members yourself. And so, you know, Brett, you're on there. A bunch of cool guys just like you are on there. And twice a year, I also have live events. And those live events, you can come to those live, 2 of those live events for free each year. So I have these specific larger events that I do. I'm doing every twice a year, and every founding member gets to be a part of that for free. So it's a massive amount of money normally. It's about, you know, not massive. It's worth every penny. And Brett, you've paid to have me come in a personal capacity before too, to come right. coach you. You know,
I've had phone coaching with you. I've had boot camp with you, and I've bought products from you in the past. And what I'm paying now, and I mean, even over the course of the year, won't even like add what I paid for that boot camp by itself.
Yeah, well, the boot camps are usually over $2,000, you know.
Right, and I'm gonna have access to 2 boot camps, and mm-hmm. then we're on a live coaching call where you and your coaches answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, I've been on there, not just myself, but I've listened to the other guys on there ask questions, and you can hear the aha moments in them too each mm-hmm. time they speak to you, and it's such an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to meet these guys at your upcoming camp where you're teaching these guys in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I want to meet these guys so I can build this friendship, so I can start buying plane tickets and going and hanging out with people all across the country.
Yeah.
And working with people that are the same level in the same place as me.
Right. There's nothing you know? Like that. I mean, there's nothing like having a friend to go through this with you at all. There's nothing like that, you know?
And it's tough, because where I'm at, it's like I'm in such a totally different place than every guy in the community that I know out here
mm-hmm.
that it's... And I don't want to be bragging, you've put me so as such a high standard to them, it's mm-hmm. that I always end up teaching people and helping them instead of trying to get help for myself.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
Nobody can help me.
Right.
Yeah, nobody's there where I... In Houston, there's some great guys that meet a lot of women, but with the knowledge that I have and the stuff that I've learned, they just... It's not a good match for me.
Right.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my goal here is to create a movement, you know, create a movement of guys who are conscious, who are not just like mindlessly going through their lives going, oh, whatever, you know, it'll happen or won't happen or whatever. And I don't, you know, I'm a victim or whatever, whatever the concepts we have, you know, that we go through all the time, you know, that we're sort of taught to believe. I'm creating a movement of guys who don't believe that crap. You know, won't settle for it and won't, you know, put their foot down. They're like, look, you know, I wasn't taught this, but I'm going to learn it. And my kids are going to know this shit. My son is going to know this. You know, whenever I have a kid, he's going to be able to go, Daddy, what do I do with this in this situation? And I'll go, well, here's why it happens. Here's what you do. If you have another question, I'm going to be there for you. I love you. You know, let's go through this together. Yeah. You know?
And I've been teaching. I got a 7-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks up, like, a while ago, I'd take him out and like, try to go pick up girls a while back. And, like, he asked me questions out of the blue, like, so random. And, like, he's done this in front of my dad. Mm-hmm. And, like, I look at my dad, and he gives me the most weirdest look. But I'm like, And so, like, he's got all these little girlfriends now on the playground and stuff like that. He's getting in fights because little kids are getting jealous of him because the girls like him.
Yeah.
and I'm not, like, teaching him stuff like that, but, like he goes out with my sister and or my stepsister, and, like, he just walks up to girls and goes, "You're pretty."
Ah, the brilliance of youth.
Hey, they got to start somewhere. I'd rather them learn young than have to go through an adolescence. You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. I think that's what it is. That's really what it boils down to, is I want to create this. I already have this group of guys that are already like that are like, look, this is for not just for me. This is for future generations. This is for everybody around me. You know, I have to know this stuff and I have to master it. And I already have that group of guys around me, and I'm looking for more, you know. I want more. I want more guys. I want us all to band together. I want us to help each other, and I want to be able to usher that. And you know, I want to bring the next generation of badasses into the world here, you know, and train us all. So you know, this is, you know, that I charge typically around, you know, between $2,000 and $3,500 per person to a boot camp, and you know that I normally charge several hundred dollars per hour for film coaching.
Yeah,
you know. And you know that I could still do that, but instead of doing that, I want to get. This is a project of passion for me. This is a labor of love, you know.
Right.
And I don't care. It's not about the money. It's about getting guys on this call to commit and to move forward and to be serious about this, you know, with me and to be in my inner circle. You know, I want to hang out with a lot of guys who know what I know, who have that kind of control, and who are conscious like me. You know, or as conscious as I am, and as I grow, I want them to grow with me. And so, you know, I'm really, you know, proud of you, Brett, and really happy to have you as part of the crew. You know, I can't wait to chat with you. I know we got another call coming up here in a couple of days, founding members call. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you on that. And I really appreciate your time here. I know because you've got stuff to do, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me, man.
Yeah.
So, did you you know, if you had one more thing to say to anybody who's listening right now, that you know would help encourage them sort of moving forward, just in general, what would you say? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd tell them to listen to this and actually take some time out and sit by themselves and think about this. If they are serious about changing their life, for the small amount of money per month for founding members, for what do you charge for your book now? $97?
$97 for everything. You know, it's got a ton of stuff in it.
Okay, that's the Hacking Attraction.
That's the day one of Hacking Attraction, the four bonus books, the Tao Badass book ebook itself, and then there's the unabridged audio commentary as well.
Right.
You know, it's like 7 hours of me talking.
Okay. Well, that $97, and if you broke that down, like, that's more material in a month than what that's just like giving it away. And
yeah,
that kind of, and I know it sounds like I'm trying to, but that material in there will my tongue's starting to, by far is there's more information in there to get you into a place where you become a confident guy. It doesn't just tell you how, it tells you why. And from all, and I've spent, I'm gonna have to say, $10,000 and tons of different kinds of materials through 5 years, and that's at least, and nothing has gotten me as far as I have that what's presented in the Tao Badass and the Hacking Attraction, and now I'm even learning so much new stuff in the Founding Members Club. It's just unbelievable.
Awesome. I'm glad, I'm just thrilled that you're able to even talk to me in the first place about this right now, and I was able to hear this because it's always good to get awesome feedback. I like that sort of thing. That's good. I really appreciate your time, Brett. And anyone who's listening now, for the next 3 days, I am going to be running a special for the Founding Members Club. I'm opening up the doors. You're allowed to get allowed to join the Founding Members Club. It's extremely cheap. like I said, it's just a labor of love for me, so I love doing it. And you'll be able to get a copy of the Val Bass as well, the Ultimate Bass Package, which is a whole bunch of stuff you were talking about earlier, Brett. That's typically $97, so it'll be a good deal. I think you'll love it. I think that you'll get a lot of information out of it. I guarantee it. Obviously, I have no reason not to guarantee it. So it's changed my life. It's changed a lot of guys' lives. So if you are interested in jumping on board, you have a few days to do that before this this offer sort of closes, and you can't get a hold of it anymore. So go ahead and grab that. Brett, thank you so much for your time again, yep. And thank you for sharing your story.
All right. Good talking to you again.
All right, you too, Brett. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Later.